Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday night. Once again, it's Brother Nate with another God's Word and Man broadcast. And I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for giving me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. Doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word of Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com, at G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, for those of you that follow from Blog Talk Radio, you know what time it is. It is Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I will be joining them also tonight. Praise be to God, and we're grateful for another blessed Friday that we've been able to see, another opportunity to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto you that are listening to the broadcast. And as we wait until our brother come on, once again, I want to thank all of you that's been listening to us on the broadcast and following us thus far going on 3 years, and thank the Lord for that we've been on Blog Talk Radio. It truly indeed has been a blessing. In the name of Jesus. And I just want to encourage those of you who have been, you know, seeking the Lord. Maybe you have particular issues that have risen up in your life and you need an answer. I want you to know that God hears. He will answer in his timing. Hold on. Your answer is on the way. Don't turn loose. Amen. Praise be to God. And we all need to be aware. You know, I look at things that is happening today. And what I do is I examine myself. And, you know, I was saying it to the Lord the other day. I was praying concerning myself. Lord, help me to be this particular thing. I'm not ready. I'm not ready like, you know, you that's the one thing that's one place where God can help you is when you are humble to say, Lord, I'm not all the way there. I need you to help me in this. Maybe some of you have a fear problem. Maybe fear comes and grips you easily. It causes you to turn back. And you may be strong in other areas, but that area you have a problem. Maybe it's a particular area that fear hits you in. Okay, maybe fear hits you concerning money-wise. Maybe some of you are afraid to even get, quote, low in money. And maybe you run out there and work a bunch of hours over and wear yourself down to a point where you can't even get into the Word. So, you know, when you see yourself and the shortcoming you have and the weakness, and then you admit it to God and give it to God and work with the Lord striving to overcome it, then you can get help. You can be delivered. But long as you're saying, I'm okay, I'm fine, you know, there are some believers out there who won't admit that, hey, I'm not altogether there. Some of them act as though they are altogether there, but they're not. Amen, and therefore it leaves no room for God to be able to help them. So we got to understand that, you know, when times we say God can do anything, well, that's true when it's coming toward his word and within the confines of his word, but he would not violate his own word. So if God wanted to deliver you, but of your own will, you don't want to turn loose of that thing, there's nothing he could do, okay, because your will comes to play. Okay, and so that's why when I hear people say God can do anything, I have to kind of, I don't want to say go on the like a correcting path or something like that, but I have to say according to the confines of his word, because he would not violate his own word. So if I'm going to say God can do anything, he can do anything according to our faith, and within the confines of his word. So he would not violate his own word. Amen. Praise be to God. I mean, you could say, I'm believing God for a man can say, I'm believing God for that woman there. Now, that woman may be married. And you can say, I'm believing God for her to be my wife. But God is not going to just up and take her from that man and make her your wife. So that's not in the confines of his will. So that's what I'm saying, that when we say God can do anything, I believe that many times more we need to stress on that, because sometimes you can be telling people who have, you know, not come to the knowledge of knowing that yet. And so when you say he can do anything, they literally would think anything. And so especially if they don't know the word, haven't been praying the word, and let's say they start praying, they're subject to pray something out of the word of God, out of the will, and be expecting God to honor it. And God is not going to honor it. God is not going to honor, you know, same thing with a woman. A Christian woman, she wants a husband. She see this guy, and she said, I'm believing God to give him to be my husband. Well, a couple things come into play. Number one, if he's married, once again, God is not going to take him from his wife and give him to you. That's not in the confines of his will. Number two, his will come into play, okay? Now, God's not going to take him against his will. So if he don't want to be with you, okay, you know, God ain't going to make him. And we got to understand that. So when we say, you know, God can do anything, we you know, and God has dealt with me, I say the last maybe year or two, about terminology, the way we say things. And sometimes the way we say things can be very misleading. And many times what we have to do, we have to really clarify the more, you know, what we're saying. Because, you know, you hear a lot of statements said that has been very misleading. And people be thinking that, well, what's said is what literally meant. And so they take it at that and go the wrong route. And then when they talk to the person, well, they say, well, you said so-and-so. They, well, I didn't mean that. Well, you know, you have to stress what you mean. Okay, you can't automatically assume sometimes that people automatically think like you think or know what you're saying. Okay, now I know something you said is you know, self-explanatory and straight out. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about certain things that, you know, our terminology we have to watch. So, one, like I said, one of the things I hear, and that's when I mentioned to you, two things especially I've been hearing quite a bit. Number one, I have to say is, Jesus can come back at any time. Now, that's definitely, I say to the people that said, no, I don't agree with that. I said, well, by his ability, yes. I said, but through his word, no. And see, I think we need to clarify that, because whether you believe it or not, there is many believers who hear that kind of terminology and actually believe that Jesus can come back at any time. Now, Jesus used words like near at hand, soon, but he does not say, I can come back at any time. Now, he said, I can come back at a time you're not aware of, okay? But that's not before he speak of other events that's supposed to happen. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, you have people out there that literally believe that he can come back at any time, okay? And by them believing that, it causes them to go into error, because now you're, you know, like many people are doing, you're riding in your vehicle and you're actually, and like I said, some people actually, and I had to give them that, you know, they wrap their heart around the word, which is good, but you, but to some degree, you don't want it to be where they wrapped around it and getting the wrong understanding. Okay. And so when they get the wrong understanding, so when you got people thinking that Jesus can actually come back at any time, and actually looking for him. Because remember the Thessalonians, remember what Paul, in writing a letter to the Thessalonians, he had to let the Thessalonians know, he said, that day shall not come except they come a falling away first. Now, from what I understand with history, he had to let the Thessalonians know that, the Christian Thessalonian church, because when they heard about Christ's return, from what I understand, said, and since they just went out there just gazing up, looking, just waiting for him to come, like they just stopped living or whatever, and Paul had to let them know, so that day would not come except that come a falling away first. So Paul had to inform them that day is going to happen, but something must happen before it. Now, who says that must happen before it? Jesus said it. And that's why I said Jesus is a God of order. He's the true and living God of order. And if there's anyone that will follow order to a T, it's him, okay? And he is the one that knows how to give true order, okay? Now, if Jesus told you this particular thing going to happen Monday, this one Tuesday, and Wednesday I'm going to come, then that's what you look for. You don't say he can come any day in that reference putting him ahead of the Monday and Tuesday, okay? Because then now you're putting him out of order, and you're making it like he's out of order and he's confusion. Because you know that when any of us is out of order, there's confusion. And God said he's the author of peace and not confusion. So if anybody confuses us, God is never confused. You never find him confused about any situation, any event, or nothing like that. He's never confused, okay? He's the author of peace. So you don't have to worry about him being confused as far as to say, hey, you know, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. He's the God of order, okay? So when we make the statement, he can come at any time, we need to clarify it more. First of all, in that statement is not totally true. Now, like I said, upon his own power ability, sure he could, okay? But based on his word, no. Because if God violated his own word, how could you trust him anymore? If God changed on his own word, how could you trust him? You couldn't. It's just like any regular person. If they giving you their word, but they're changing on it, you know, you get to a point, you say, man, I don't even know whether to believe you or not. You know, and see, God is the only one who keepeth his word, because he said his word would not return unto him void, okay? And so when we make this, you know, that's why in our prayers for ourselves personally, one of the prayers I think we need to offer for ourselves is, Lord, help me to speak the right terminology, because I don't want to mislead anyone. You know, I don't want to say something that the scriptures say. You know, just like I was thinking about the other day, it was this song on, and I forgot who was singing this gospel song, and I think it was Kirk Franklin, and he said, God won't put no more on you than you can bear. But for the scripture, it said, God will not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. And so we said, well, God put, that's what the Bible said, he would not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. He will not suffer you. He will not permit you to be tempted above that which you can handle. Okay? So, you know, people think that words don't matter, but they do. Okay? You know, just think of yourself for a minute. If you told somebody something, they went out and told somebody else, you know, what you supposed to have said, but they add all kind of words in it, and then maybe what you told them was harmless. Maybe what you told them was something that was humble. But when they went and told somebody else that you said thus and thus, it was a message of pride, maybe a message belittling the other person. Well, you would be upset. If you found out that they said, you'd be like, man, I didn't say that. You know, I don't like you putting words like, well, you know, I understand how God feels whenever we do that. And so whenever we do that, to God, you know, putting things in there, saying things that, you know, we shouldn't be saying, and saying he said it, you know, that just don't work well, okay? So, you know, that's the thing about it. We need to pray and ask God, so God, help us, help me with my terminology that I may get it right. I don't want to mislead anyone. Praise you to God. Because, like today, one of the most misleading things is Jesus can come back at any time, any day. And, you know, they even got, quote, gospel songs, you know, called that. And I'm not trying to be funny, but that's, you know, and people are wholeheartedly believing it. You know, you may think they're just a song. No, they really believe in it. There are people who wholeheartedly believe that any moment, at any hour, Christ can come back and get them. And they're actually... And that's why some of them don't even, and I'm talking about proclaiming Christians, don't even try to strive to live to the best of their ability in Christ. Because if you're told that you can be gone any day, you know, some of them look at, why put in such a great effort? You know, because I've gotten in the front door, which means I'm saved. So why should I put any great effort to live holy, per se? You know, I'm saved and blah, 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 and I can be gone any day. So, you know, they look at it as, why should I put any kind of strong effort, okay? Because it's been a very, very misleading statement, and it's very, to be honest with you, a dangerous statement, because there are many whose hearts are wrapped around this particular thing, that any day they could be gone, and any day that Christ can return. But we must understand that the Lord laid down some events that is to happen before he returned. And, you know, what he says is going to happen is going to happen. And these events will come to pass, okay? So rest assured that whatever he says is going to happen before he returns is definitely going to happen without a shadow of a doubt, okay? And so once again, when we get into the area of saying God can do anything, that's another phrase or terminology that I personally believe we need to, you know, clarify more. And I have been guilty of it many times myself, believers. I mean, you know, saying that, you know, God can do anything. But I don't know, as of late, I'd say maybe the past year or two, so, you know, God had been really dealing with me on that because, you know, if God lets you know that there's instructions even for you to pray, then, you know, it got to be something in the confines of the instruction in what you pray or your words. And we see that in 1 John 5 that we are told that if we pray according to, you know, his will, he hears us. So we can't just be praying all over the place and just praying anything and think that God is going to answer. Or for the first thing, even hear. So if we're not praying according to the confines of his will, he don't hear you, you know. But if you're praying according to his will, he hears you. And that's what the word tells us. So when we say God can do anything, you know, we need to really clarify that. I think that's a very important, very, very important statement because, for example, if you're telling newborn babes this, whose heart is really just, you know, for the Lord, if you tell a newborn babe this, who, you know, who hearts is really for the Lord, and you give them this statement and say, you know, the Lord can do anything. Well, and especially if they look at to you as a man or a woman of God, they're going to take you at what you said. And so by them being babes, you know, they're not knowing many times what's the correct way of praying or the words to pray. So since they're taking you at what you're saying, then, hey, all they know is to just pray. So they can be asking something and be operating in covetousness, you know. But they're thinking on your last statement that, you know, God can do anything. And once again, we have to work on clarifying, especially when you know you're dealing with babes or someone that you know have not advanced in the Lord enough to properly discern. In fact, we need to do it anyhow to clarify it, okay, anyhow. But I'm saying especially when it comes to babes and especially someone, you know, even if I was talking to a sinner, I'm going to clarify it to him. I'm not going to leave it just like that. You know, like I said, this is something that I say the past couple of years especially, you know, the Lord had dealt with me on is our terminology. And it does matter. Some people say, "No, it don't matter. God understands." Well, once again, go pray out of his will and see what happens. Because if you think God is going to still honor that, you praying some you know, out of the way prayer that is very, very much contradictory to the will of God, then watch and see will he honor it by you saying he understands. Okay, he understands his word. He understands that what he allowed to be written. He understands what he spoke to these men of old and what he told them to write down. He understands when he moved upon them, what he had them to speak. He understands that. But for you to just be praying out of the will of God and think he's just going to honor it because you say you understand, well, I'll tell you what, go ahead and start doing it and watch what happens. Okay? Watch what happens. This is part in the teaching, why teaching is so important. Because there are people who are praying out of the will of God, but they don't know no better. Why? Because, and once again, this is not no mockery to put down, but some of the churches they are in do not have a mind to say, oh, they need to be taught. They don't really think about that, hey, these are babes in Christ. So let me pass my brother on here. God bless you.
Shalom.
God bless, brother.
Shalom.
Another blessed day.
Shalom, mercy. Yeshua is Lord. Okay. Go ahead, finish, brother.
Well, no, I was just telling, I was talking to him about terminology. And God dealt with me, you know, about a couple years ago on our terminology. You know, you hear people, two of the biggest phrase terminology I hear that, you know, people don't clarify is when they say Jesus can come back at any time. And the other one is God can do anything. And I said, wait a minute. I said, now, if you leave that statement, especially the second one I made, if you leave that statement like that and don't clarify that, yeah, according to your ability, it could, but not against his word, that he can do anything and confined to faith and in the will of God. That's true. Okay? But out of his will, he's not honoring that. He's not going to go against his own word. So I know that when I was saying that when we're talking to people, especially when you're talking to, let's say, newborn babes, and, you know, who just come to Christ, you know, very zealous, very wow. And you say, well, you know, God can do anything, and just leave it at that. Well, you know, they're being babes and not knowing too much better. Hey, you know, just pray anything, you know, because God can do anything. But we have to let them know in clarification, it has to be, the Bible said, if we pray according to his will, he heareth us. That's what he said in 1 John chapter 5. So that's straight out. So we have to pray. So if you want him to hear you, you got to pray according to the will. If you don't pray according to the will, what that mean? He don't hear you. You know, he don't hear you.
Yeah, that's what he said. You know, in the 4th chapter of Proverbs and the 8th chapter and the 7th chapter of Proverbs, it talks about above all you're getting. You know, and I ponder that above all you're getting or obtaining, get wisdom. For wisdom, get understanding and get wisdom. For the price of it is more than gold or silver or any precious armor. The price of the value of it, to get wisdom, always get, you know, the wisdom that of God, the wisdom, the God's kind of wisdom. Above all you're getting, get understanding, get wisdom. If you don't get those two, there's a reason he said to obtain or go after the most important part of your precept and understanding of God's is get wisdom and understanding. Now, right understanding, godly understanding, spiritual understanding and application is very important because you hear these statements that you just made and people don't leave them out there hanging and don't clarify them. And you make those bare-bone statements like that and people can just jump and bare-bone and just take it without understanding, proper understanding, without scriptural understanding. Well, God can do anything. Yeah, it sounds good and it almost sounds biblical, but it's not quite scripturally accurate. It's not, oh, God is control everything. It sounds very nice and good to think that, but that's not quite scripturally true.
Right.
It sounds acceptable, and traditionally people have said that God can do anything. No, he can't. And God's in charge of everything. No, he's not.
Right.
And the Bible, it makes that plain. So get the proper understanding. If you're going to make a statement like that, make sure you clarify it according to the scripture so people won't be misled or misinformed. Because I hear that statement from a lot of good Christians, well-meaning, good, nice, even full gospel people, and even faith. God can do anything. He's in charge of everything. Don't worry about it. Really.
Right.
Out of context, wrong application can be misleading. Okay. And so above all you're getting, the Bible said wisdom is the principal thing, the wisdom of God.
Right.
Okay, then.
Right.
And it's necessary.
I'm sorry, brother. I was text a question, and the question asked, what about the scripture say, with God all things are possible? But that's still just according
to true.
The will and according to the faith. You know, it's in confines.
Well, here's the thing about getting proper understanding of the foundation of Scripture and the will of God. Take time in New Testament saints, and that's the job of the preacher, or if you have a person with the teaching ability or the counseling ability to declare or verify these things, because sometimes people preach, people have the gift to preach, but they don't necessarily have the gift of teaching or revealing plainly to people. I think teaching is just as important as preaching, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Jesus did more teaching than he did preaching, of course, and there's a reason for that. So they both play a major part, but if you leave out the proper teaching, and you can have a great preacher, and that's very important. But I will put teaching right on the same scale.
Right.
Okay, that's why I value Sunday school, what we call Sunday school. I value what Christians refer to as Sunday school because it's on the first day of the week.
Right.
I call it training school or Sabbath school, or preparatory school. But I value that part of Sunday school. It was the most important, valuable part of a service that make you to have a firm foundation of understanding. Because what you don't get in preaching, you have to get in the teaching or the school's teaching that you're going to need it. So that I just pass that out to people that if you have a training preparatory Sunday school, make sure you get there. And then the next thing, make sure you get to the prayer meeting, because you're going to make the bear meeting and the banquet meeting and the union meeting. But make sure you make the prayer meeting, okay, if you're going to get anywhere in God. The church is going to be more empty in most spaces. They're a little better now in certain full gospel and certain other areas. They have swept up a lot of some Pentecostal people, and they value apostolic. Some of them value a little bit more now. But I noticed over the years visiting many churches at all that when it comes called to the prayer and intercession meeting, it's going to be like a handful. And and don't mention anything about fasting. It's going to be like what? What? Okay. So I just throw that out there. And you're right, brother, about clarification about a lot of things that's misunderstood. I hear the great preach, some of the great, even great preachers, oh, God can do anything. With God, all things are possible. Now, Jesus made clear and clarified those kind of statements when you said with God, all things are possible. What do you mean? Do you mean that you, if you were without understanding and proper clarification of how Scripture is given so you can get a proper understanding from the background, that's why you have to have the background of understanding Scripture? Because you'll miss it. Oh, with God, all things is possible. So I'm going to walk out there and I'm going to jump in front of this car. It's going to be all right because all things possible. He's just breaking it up. Or I'm going to jump off this building here. All things are possible with God. He'll give me. You can just say a lot of stuff that all things are possible. But go back and lay a foundation what you mean when God says that to you as an individual or to a covenant people. What is he talking about? I had people, well, God will give me, if I wanted your wife, God will give me your wife. That's possible. He said all things. If I believe for it, he'll just snatch her from you and give it to me.
Right.
You know, foolish. See,
right.
Foolish things can be attached to it. Foolishness, if you don't get the proper understanding of these things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that God, I don't have to work for a living. I'm not on a call or mission of God. I'm just going to lay up and he's going to drop raindrops because I'm believing that he'll do that. And he'll open hole. If I see a hole in my roof and I have the ability to go out there and fix that roof, God's ain't gonna let it rain in there because, you know, well, you can try that. So all kind of foolishness we get attached to that statement, all things are possible if you only believe. So we can go on all night to explaining this, what God means when he make a statement to his covenant people, all things are possible to them that are covenant believers in my will. Now, sticklers. But anyway, tonight I want to, Handmaiden Night, I want to particularly give honor and recognition and thank God for the gift of two women who made a difference in our society, in our nation. And one of them is Harriet Tubman, and the second one was Sojourner Truth. Both of these women in the late 1850 came out of slavery. Both of them was ex-slaves, women. I don't have the thing before me now, the history about the history of these two great women who was ex-slaves, who were also Christians, and what I understand it, that one of them was a evangelist. Sojourner Truth was, understand it, that God spoke from heaven in an audible voice and called her and told her to proclaim. Now, she was an ex-slave, just escaped from slavery, Sojourner Truth, and he gave her a name, and the name he gave her was Sojourner Truth. And Harriet Tubman, the great ex-slave, who was a Christian and a missionary, and she espoused the things of God to those slaves. Look at the history of Harriet Tubman, ex-slave, who led over 350 people out of slavery through the Underground Railroad and risked her life going back and forth to deliver freedom and liberty to slaves, black slaves, freedom. And her story is a great story of inspiration, how she depended on the Lord God, how she was a Christian, how she was led to this ministry to deliver those slaves, those black slaves, and free them and risked her life over and over again through a network called the Underground Railroad, where they was led out of slavery. So Sojourner Truth was another one. She was a preaching woman that was called from heaven by the living God, even though she was an ex-slave, to help the slaves and preachers. So just want to say, you know, honor these great women who were ministers and deliverers of a people. Sojourner Truth and Harry Tubman. So we'll give honor to whom honor is due, recognition of the great work that they've done as Christian and believers. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
You turn it. I don't know, still work for me. I don't know. Thank you. So, these two great women, and I did know a little history about Sojourner Truth. I don't recall, I don't have the paper for me back, but she was an ex-slave, and she was run away and got away, and Harriet Tubman also, and they have, but they were Christian now. Now, here's the thing. They were called and chosen of God to a work, and one of them was to help deliver the slaves out of this bondage, this horrible bondage in the South, to freedom. And Harriet Tubman, she did a great work, and so did Sojourner Truth. So I advise everyone to look up the history and be inspired by these ex-black, ex-slaves, black women who did a great work, were ministers of God to lead people to freedom and liberty. So thank God for that. So I just thought I would honor these two great women. They sown in history. They made movies about a couple of them. I think Harriet Tubman's got one going down. History about this great woman who was a minister of God, a ministry of deliverance, and ministering of the victory in bringing people out of slavery and bondage. But so I do believe God used people to minister to different areas and needs in life in the history. And so God got many gifts, men calling, and he used women and men and young people. So I want to, you know, recognize them. Okay. And I think our children should know the history of many great people who sacrificed and showed the love. And Christ raised up these people to bring victory and liberty and hope to people. So I celebrate that. I do celebrate these two women's lives. Hallelujah. Just want to mention those two great women a lot.
Amen.
So in that time, coming out of slavery, being in bondage in the Southern slavery, you think about what the runaway slaves would never go back, taking a chance of getting caught. But this woman, eventually she became a totally free. You know, they had the right, if a runaway slave, they other state, in the slave state, they return you back to slavery. You had to make it to the north,
right.
Flee to the north, and get in the northern states. And right now in America, right now, why, you understand why the gospel is so important? The gospel of Christ is so much, the gospel of redemption and love is so important now? Because there is so much what I call backlash that out of that slavery of black people in America, America is still suffering from the side effects of that evil that still that America is paying a price for. See, people don't understand that there's a reaping for every evil thing in every nation that people do it. Israel was in slavery for about 70 years. They were in Egypt about 400 years, but they were enslaved about 70 and 80 years. And the Lord said, after I'm going to pay the nation that held you in slavery. And so there was a reaping for evil. So America is paying a great price for what they did to the Indians and the blacks. They are reaping some of that now. I know there's a great, great, wonderful things that many Christian and many people did to help the slaves in America, many, many. And so, but yet there was an evil part of America. Half of America was misled, misdeceived by their blindness and their ignorance and thinking that slaves was not human beings. This is through the ignorance that was in them and the darkness that still now pervades our nation about inferiority and superiority. So this is one of the things that the gospel of Christ has come to set people free and deliver people from that kind of thinking and from that kind of bondage. So I thank God for these two women, and there's many more who had a work placed upon their lives, Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth, ex-slaves, black, used to minister to slaves in the time of a great, great sorrow. Okay. Now, there's great heroes that we don't celebrate. They were, some of them were Christians, came out of slavery, and were, who, there was a man named, what his name? He was Brown at Harper Perry, who sought to set the slaves free. What's his name? Brown. He was a minister, and he tried to help set the the slaves free and his sons. I think he was some a minister at Harper Perry, but he was killed. But I think his desire was right. He wanted to free. He was a white. What his name? Brown. You don't remember the history? Nobody don't remember history out there.
I don't remember that.
Y'all got to go back and get y'all history. At Harper Perry, where he sent to raise up a rebellion, the slaves to overthrow their masters, but there was so much in bondage, they didn't do it. But anyway, God has a way. He sent Abraham Lincoln and put him in office, and God raised him up, and the Lord put in his mind and his heart and that he was the man to bring about freedom to this bondage of slavery. God raised him, Abraham Lincoln, a specific put in office. One of the reasons to deliver America from being not only divided as a nation, South, and the greatest war. Do you know that the greatest war was the what we call the Civil War? And more people died in the Civil War than they died in World War One, I think, and almost in World War Two in the Civil War.
Right.
Over two things. The two things that they were divided. One was over slavery. And the other one is about tariffs and money and shipping, because it was about money, power, and slavery. Divided the North and the South. And so somehow the Lord had planned and purpose that placed Abraham Lincoln to win, who happened to be a Republican, and God used him to bring about at a set time a victory, because if he had not, they would continue on with that same. And to this day, we need to understand the power and the need of the gospel of Christ to reverse all the cursed cultural ignorant thinking of man about enslaving and human beings. And all over the world today, they still have some form of slavery and tyranny still going on in certain nations. And so the Lord came to set us free more ways than one as a people in earth. So I'm going to thank God that America was used in many ways to free liberty and bring liberty to many, many people. But we could go into America still has done a great and marvelous thing to offer freedom and liberty to many nations who have fled within her borders. But she still didn't treat the Indians and the blacks like they ought to. So now she's suffering some side effects from the evil that she done to the Indians and the blacks, and that this nation has never really truly repented of this as a nation. Just some few people has done that. Hallelujah. So we have to continue to forgive and ask forgiveness for America for the evil that she's done to blacks and Indians, and ask God to forgive them for the evil that they've done. And I don't know how the Indians feel like that. I don't know how the Jews, most of the Jews that I heard on TV, some of them are out of the Holocaust, they don't talk about forgiving Germans. They don't. I haven't heard any of them talking about forgiving the Germans at all. The Jews, they get on there and say, on the religious program, and they don't think about forgiving what they did. But blacks and Indian blacks are the most forgiving people. And I'm saying this not because some of them don't have the same sinful nature, but they're the most forgiving people. They wouldn't forgive all the slavery and bondage to them. The Indians were treated terrible, and I know consequences. The God always is just and fair, and he will always render justice with mercy, with mercy. All right, what we got here? We need to understand more about the history, secular and spiritual. And I have a great view why God wants to understand the past, because it's going to affect our future. And if we don't understand what took place in the past, we often make the same mistake in the future. So understanding the history of things, both spiritually and secular, give us a understanding how evil works, as well as righteousness. Israel continued, went into bondage and idolatry and continued to fall into the same snare. And they kept doing this all the way up to the coming of Jesus to continue that path. So we need to understand the past, the legacy, and the history of things. We need to understand that. It's very important. Very important in all things. Hallelujah. And so that's why I'm a very, very person that very understand a little bit more about needing to understand the natural side of life to understand why the spiritual side is so important. And I don't think that people understand the value of that to understanding spiritual things, to understand the natural or what we call the biological or physical side of life so that we can comprehend how evil works and how difficult it is often to get past hurts, wounds, and of the past. See, the hurts and the wounds that take place can be passed on from generation to generation, from children to children. The hatred, the bitterness, the anguish, the sorrow can be passed on and on and on. And I'm saying this for the glory of God. Okay, I'm going to make some statement because it's time for people to be really advised how evil works. And I'm not saying it to offend anybody, to hurt anybody, or wounding people. I believe that the history of things, avoiding them, don't make you wiser. And avoiding the history, you have to bring out the hurt, the wounds, and the offenses so people can be healed and be delivered. I lived in the South for a little while, and racism and bigotry, of course, existed to a great extent. I don't judge every individual person because I don't think in every individual in their heart endorse slavery and injustice against blacks and Indians or even poor people. I don't think that every person did that. I'm sure they didn't. But many, many people did. I remember when I was a little kid, I'm going to show you how evil it. They would teach their children against black people and call them names. They'll start them off real early in the South. And I remember an incident that happened to me. And I'm telling you that you have to get free. When I'm in the South, as a black person, there are many things done to you and said to you that if you don't teach your children how to get free from those things and show them, those things can hang on their lives and affect their future. You hear me? Everybody understand that?
Amen. Amen.
The wounds and the hurts and the offenses. You can overlook them and say, forget about it. No, it don't go that way. You can say forget about it if you want to. But if people don't get healed in the inside of scars and wounds and sorrows and mistreatment of the past, you know how I learned that so much about? When I hear many of the Jews, and I'm not trying to condemn them, the natural Jews, especially the European Jews, who comes on the Christian talk shows and they talk about the Holocaust, which is one of the most terrible times, they are still full of unforgiveness. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not condemning them. I'm just saying when you hear them, they're not ready to forgive. Oh, no. I'm not telling them they don't need to forget the horror. But in order to get free, you have to be healed and delivered and let that go, or it would affect your destiny in your life. The Jews, all of them here that come on this religious show, and they don't talk about forgiveness. You know that? I know what you listen to them.
Right.
No. And one of the things they tell when black people get on the show, you know that the evangelists tell them, oh, you got to forget and forgive, but they don't tell the Jews that. You know why they don't?
Right.
I'm not trying to avoid anybody. But when they tell the blacks, forget about slavery, that's over in the past and done with. No, it's not done over with. And when you don't understand spiritual laws and natural laws, physical law and emotional laws, how nations are affected by evil and the scars and the hang-ups of the past still lay on unless you are properly set free and healed. And not only do you have to forgive, but you have to be healed. Now, Now, that's why a lot of people are having trouble today with the past. And we are suffering because of some of the past things that has not been done away with and forgotten and delivered from. Satan is still operating because we have not got healed and forgiven. And the nation in America has refused to come openly, only a few people, and openly said, we for ask your forgiveness, black people, or for having you enslaved in bondage for our fathers and grandfathers. They will just forget about it and all that kind of stuff. Well, spiritual laws don't operate that way. I'm sorry. That's why we don't understand spiritual laws, and we know how our nations and how people in homes operate when people have been hurt, wounded, broken, and scarred. So I'm explaining these things because I didn't come on the show to even think of, to talk about this. It was not in my mind. It was not even my thoughts to talk about today. So there must be a reason the Lord is bringing to my mind about healing nations, homes, and cultures, how people are treated. That's why when I tell my children, raise my children, I don't raise them to hate the slave masters or the slave people. I put another seed in them and explain to them how evil and injustice work and why God wants us to live our lives and be free from those things. And we have to be free ourselves because we carry the seeds of our destruction with our bitterness and our anger. I see it in people. I had to get rid of it out of me, these seeds that's left over. My mother and father did not teach me to hate white people or other people. Even though they were mistreated in the South and injustice, they did not treat. But they told us to stand up for our rights and our just right against evil and defend ourselves, which is right, to defend ourselves. And I believe in that, and my grandfather believed in defending himself against just and right. And he would stand up against justice when it would come against him, no matter what color it was. See, injustice don't know any color. Racial divide don't know any particular color. It knows human fallen nature manifested through sin in every nation. You'll find it. I said in every nation on the earth. Hallelujah. So I'm just bringing these things out. I don't know why I put on my mind to bring this out about healing of nature, healing America. America is not completely healed and whole yet. That's why you see so many racial outbursts now coming forth. People don't understand. All of a sudden, they thought the civil rights had solved everything. No, civil rights can't solve what is in your heart. I'm sorry. That don't work like that. It helps you to make laws and changes, but the real change has to come from your heart and from the scars of the past that's in your emotions and your feelings that have been passed on to you. You have to be set free from. Not too many people are teaching people and nations how to get free from the past injustice they were put upon people and put upon them. Because you see, each nation has put injustice bondage on other nations, each passing it on, and it happened, even happened in America. America did the same thing, even though she was a Christian nation. And America is the greatest and the most blessed nation on the earth in the last days. But yet and still, we see the after effects going on in 2019. Our nation is divided. And it comes from the highest source. You go to the White House, we asking God to bless Mr. Trump, the leader of this nation, that he be a vanguard in helping to heal and deliver people rather than plant seeds and water seeds of bitterness and division. Now, there always is separation between evil and good and righteous and unrighteous. There's always a division between that. That should be. But when you divide people and plant seeds and water it, it causes destruction. I don't believe maybe he's not intending to do that, but he's doing that in some of the stuff that he's doing because he's not really redeemed in those areas yet. I pray for him. All right, then. I thought I don't talk enough on it. I don't know why I had to bring this out, but it was necessary because we're not just dealing with individuals. We're dealing with nations. And see, God looks on, when he looks down, he looks at nations. We may look at just individuals, But God looks on nations, then he looks on communities, then he looks on groups, and then he looks on individuals. And he knows everyone one by one. But he also looks at the nation grouping because he wants to save nations, not just only the individual. He wants to save families. He looks at families. When he looks at that home, he looks at everybody in that family. He looks at them individual, but he looks at the whole family group. He looks at that city, and he looks at that culture, and he looks at that whole nation could be wiped away unless certain things are resolved or delivered. So these seeds of the past are still lingering. Some negative seeds are still festering in the past that have been passed on from generation to people. That's why you see all this, the breaches between different groups and the hatred and bitterness. It's all over the world. It's in Africa. People look at Africa as like it's some kind of dog country. Africa is not a dog country. Let me tell you that. Even though they had a lot of heathenism and paganism in Africa, they had it in all the nations.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me get this straight. Africa is not a dog nation. Afro civilization is in the world. Africa was the most enlightened nation in the human sphere. I want to say something. The Africans, what we call Africa, was the most enlightened civilization in the whole hemisphere. Now, they did have a lot of false gods like the other nation, idolatry, but they're the most enlightened people there was on the earth. Okay. Okay, let me move on. At least I get in deep trouble. And Brother Nate has to bail me out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, the reason you have to go this way to understand the spiritual part of man, why it is the part of the greater solution, the gospel of Christ. It is the healing balm. It is the redemption. It's the transformation. It's the taking out of the man those hearts and seeds of wickedness and putting a new heart and a new spirit in man and renewing his mind and cleansing from the past. Do you know the law of reciprocity and sowing and reaping? Listen, when a mother carries a child and she's full of bitterness and anger and other stuff, it passes on to the child. Just like smoking the drugs and the cigarettes and alcohol passes on. You get that?
Right.
And we need to understand how that law works. And so the mother carries the child, and they say, well, don't be angry and cursing and upset all that and doing all kind of evil. That's going to affect that life in you. And don't be partying and drinking and carrying on and doing all kind of stuff. That's going to affect that life. Okay. They don't care. They don't understand. Mostly they don't understand. And the father, he comes in, and the baby's in. He's saying a lot of words. The words goes into the baby, and the words around the atmosphere of that home affects that life. When the life comes forth, it has been shaped or blessed or hurt or wounded in ways that we know not, because we don't understand the laws of the spoken word. I said, we don't understand the laws of the spoken word.
Right.
It's a lot that Christians need to understand about the makeup of human composition and about the life of the spirit. We need to understand more about these laws, how they affect positive and negative. So when you speak the words of life about Christ and life, that reverses a lot of stuff. All right, then, we have had my heart. This is a heart-to-heart. That's what this day is about, heart-to-heart and the women. And so we do have heart-to-heart conversations. And people are free from every nation, every place, to come, especially to women, to participate or ask questions or ask for prayer or ask for special needs, please, you're welcome. We have a love for all people, no matter what nation, what nationality, what ethnic group, what blood group. We make no difference because Christ came to redeem us and gave us a heart of love for all people, irregardless of the past. And so we want you to know that we are the body of Christ, the Elijah Message Group, and we are being freed up, as other Christians are being freed up, to demonstrate the love of Christ that's so powerful to do away with everything else. Love you today. So women, wherever you are in whatever nation, Christ, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Holy One, was lifted up. And for our sake, for our healing and our redemption. And he rose on the third day. And he's the only one that can save and redeem. And I want to make that very clear. The Bible is very clear on that. I don't apologize for that because I don't ever apologize for the gospel. I don't apologize for the gospel of Christ because other nations have all kind of religions, all kind of belief, and for 1,000 years, but I still don't apologize for the gospel. Even though Hinduism, Buddhism, culturism, Africanism, they may have been around 1,000 years. But those seeds that were sown in those cultures was not from the true and the living God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was raised up to enlighten the nations who were called Gentiles and bring them back to the one and true and living God, which is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, then. Now, if anybody out there offended what I say, I want you to know I regret that you were offended. And I'm sorry and I'm regretful that you were offended. If I said it in a manner that was unacceptable, I'm still learning. But do I take back what I said? No. I'm sorry. I don't apologize when I have to say you the sharp edge of the sword to put some very important truth out there. Somebody is going to be offended. Somebody is not going to like it. But it will heal you. It will deliver you. It will enlighten you. And all of us, we know that great truth and love of God will sometime hurt you and you will get healed. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Sister Anderson been sitting back in the cut. And evangelist, missionary, Sister Anderson, with her husband's permission, I guess I can call it. I better call her a servant of the Lord. I don't want the man of God get on my case. Amen. All right. Can I read a scripture, Brother Nate, before she comes on?
Okay.
In the 19th chapter of Proverbs. The Lord has been getting on my case for years to study the book of wisdom and why the enemy don't want you to study the book of wisdom. Proverbs and Psalms and wow, it's loaded with God's wisdom.
Okay.
It was a scripture that caught me a little while ago as I was coming back. In verse 17. And these verses keep coming back to me off and on because it has a very important part in revealing the gospel, the part of the gospel. Verse 17, 19 chapter of Proverbs, he that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that, let me go there, he that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord God. And I told you, understanding the term Lord, it's not a name, it's a title. It's not a personal name of God. The reason the word Lord was instituted in the translation, they feared in the translation to actually put a personal name. The Jews first feared, and they refused to put a name, a personal name. The term Lord, Adonai, is a title to a royal position or a position of authority, a lord. So when you see the word Lord, often by itself, sometimes you'll see it connected to Lord God, which carrying another weight with it, Lord God. So this term, Lord, can apply to many positions in the earth, in the realm, when they refer to the kings and the princes and the people, the rulers, as my Lord. In the Hebrew culture, they begin to use the term to rabbis and people in positions, princes or kings, as my Lord or my master. So it is a common practice when they translate it, they refer to use the personal name, the personal names of the living God, the true God. So they inserted this word Lord. So I thought I'd throw that in there. It is a title. It is not a personal name. So when you hear me use some personal names of God, people don't understand why I say Yeshua. Now, the reason I say this, I don't have time to explain it, why I often say, because I say Jesus in the English language a lot. So of course, I'm talking to English, mostly English people, and they only speak English. So the name Jesus, they think everybody in the world speak English. But I'm afraid not. When the Lord God, in the book of Acts, when Jesus, our Lord, appeared to Saul of Tarshish, and he, in the vision, in the ninth chapter of Acts, he appeared to him, and he spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue. Why? Because Paul not only was familiar with other languages, but his main legacy of his family or tribal language was Hebrew. So when the Lord God spoke to him, it said he heard the Lord Jesus speaking to him in the Hebrew tongue. So since Paul was not an English-speaking person, which English had not come about at that time, the language English had not come into existence, they spoke either Greek, Phoenician, or Latin or Hebrew, but Paul's tongue of the Hebrew original people were Hebrew. So the Lord Jesus spoke to him and said in the Hebrew tongue, and he understood. Now he was to speak to us in the Hebrew tongue. The Lord said, oh, they don't speak. Well, you know, they're English. They can't hardly speak English. I better, all right, English speaking people. So I say Yeshua, or a translation of God being Jehovah, personal name, or Yahweh, or El Shaddai, explaining the different factors of his nature in the Old Testament. It's explaining the different faction of God's nature and his power. Okay, the poor. What are we going to hear the cry of the poor around the world? Now, that's poor in spirit, but that's poor indeed. The gospel play a playing part, but the demonstration of the gospel is giving more than just the words of the gospel alone. Alone. That's the most powerful weapon to set men free, the preaching or declaring of the gospel of Christ. But that is not the only full manifestation of the gospel. We have to care about the sick, poor and the oppressed, the orphans and the widow, and demonstrate that in their needs, present needs on the earth. We can say that we love them, which may be true, but it has to be manifested in light of the gospel by manifesting to their need, their present need. I'm hungry. The gospel going to heaven is good and well, but I need some food. I'm sick. I'm oppressed. I don't have no home. What y'all going to do about that? Then I'll know God is real. Then they'll know God is real. See, we don't manifest this. We can say all we want, but they'll know that God is real because he cares about their present need. So we have to care about their present need. What are we going to do about the poor, indeed? The real poor, the orphans, the widows, the sick, the sickness network of the orphans. That's where people get an idea that God is a God that cares about them when he see meet their needs. He cares about their present condition, not that by and by only. Jesus had to prove that God was not concerned just about the by and the by, but their present need. That's why he said, break the bread and bless it to the 5,000 and the 4,000. Okay? So we have to hear the cry of the poor around the world. Hallelujah. And we have to answer. I have to answer. And corporately, many Christians are helping people around the world. And a lot of help has come from America Christians to minister to many people around the world. America has done a great, tremendous job. Many of them were churches, many was church group, Christian group, but many of them was not Christian group, but this people that was touched with the needs of other people. As America has done much, much to minister that way to many nations. Okay.
We want to welcome our Sister Anderson on, brother. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you.
Yes, indeed. Hello.
Amen. I'm here, brother. God bless you all.
We want to say this time for you and whosoever around the nation that we're concerned about, all the widows, all the hurt women, all of the people that's going through and see their children starving and can't do anything about it. That's why we tell people to call into the prayer line from every nation, text or Instagram, whatever you got, Brother Nate, that they can, do care about their hurting and their need. We are not, we don't have a lot of great money or wealth to do a lot, but we do have our faith and our love, and what little do, we will share. Okay, go ahead.
Amen. Amen. We will share, and I just thank and I praise the Lord for the sharing of the word tonight. And
we just have a chat, a conversation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There I go again. Heart to heart, face to face conversation.
And I just think and I praise the Lord. He's been so good. And I was listening to the message last night. Brother Nate brought out the 51st message so wonderfully. And at the end of the message, he prayed my prayer. I'm claiming the 91st Psalms as my prayer. And I just
I'm sorry, about that. I got you both beat about 20 years. So my patent rights. My patent rights. I'm exercising my patent rights. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Jesus Christ is good. He's wonderful, and I just thank and I praise him for it. And for Sister Harriet and the ones that paved the way before us, and sometimes it takes somebody to speak the word to awaken things within you. And I just, thank and praise the Lord, and I'll be listening, brother, to the word. And I pray and ask the Lord just to help me. And I was praying, and the Lord had, I was praying for my husband. And the Lord spoke some words to me. You hear people say, and he kind of get on me, and I kind of, because I hear him say, help me, Jesus, something about the Lord. And, I was praying for him, and the Lord kind of brought some words to me that, a lot of time we call up on him. For I was listening to the brother talking about, explaining, the word. You can say the word, but then sometimes you have to explain the word, because a lot of people, my father-in-law, he have a saying that don't be listening to what I'm saying, but listen to what I'm trying to say. But a lot of times we have to go by what you are actually saying. And when I was praying, and people be saying, help me, Jesus, but I was noticing that a lot of time when people say that, I hear it a lot of days, OMG, OMG, but I never see a change. You're calling and asking for help, but I never see you make attempt to change or change in your life or anything. When you, with the terminology that the brother was talking about, that's another thing. That's where terminology coming in. You calling and you asking for help, and you calling on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you also got to make a change. Right. And that came to me when I was praying, you know, that, you know, that's another thing during the in terminology that people need to know. Yeah, you can call on them and call on them, and the Lord will touch you, but you still have to make a change.
Amen.
Okay. Right. You know, I want to speak to the women of the world that's suffering. Some are sisters or brothers, and some are just hurting people. Because I think this particular night, why I choose to put it women's night, because I particularly was given compassion heart to remember the women and the children of the world. And my side is particularly to reach out to the crying and the weeping, orphans and the women, and especially the women and mothers, different ones that are hurting, and we in Zion in America are just have so much, and we've just been given so much, and we are being blessed by being in a nation, a once great Christian nation, which is now kind of falling away, was the greatest outreach to people in the entire earth. They all look to America after the World War. Basically, after the 1940s, all eyes was looking at America as the answer and solution in the top nation and the most powerful, influential nation, the more giving nation, that we were all of those things to the nations of the world. And so all nations can run to Zion. If we look in Micah and Book of Isaiah, chapter 2 and chapter 4, where all nations and groups will come to America. And that's why I am in agreement with our president, even though I'm an enemy, that we need to guard our borders and protect our borders from all that's coming across these poor illegal people. We have to do something and stop that, because it's going to affect us in a way that we are not going to be happy about. Flowing freely, crossing criminals, drugs, terrorists, anybody. There are people that have special needs, of course, but they're going to have to come the right way. That's just all to it. Laws, illegal people, the laws are placed there for our protection and God, and we just let people come, just thousands of people just cross over illegally, we're going to suffer some things, hallelujah, that we are not expecting by allowing our laws that have been set to guard and protect, even though there was the laws are tempered with mercy to help those people that come on asylum. But this is going to be used by the devil to letting people flow from any nation, just come over any way. You got these communists, you got these people coming from Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, invading our nation, terrorists, Islam, and they're going, when the time comes, they're going to show up in America and destroy America. They're right here, and Mr. Trump is, I don't agree with his methods where he do stuff, but I do agree that he's right, that we have to protect our borders and preserve our liberty. If we don't, I don't like the tone, the words that he used, and the method he used is not always the best method. But, you know, it is what it is. So, anybody want to say to, that's why I gave women time. And, you know, I want to say I appreciate you, Sister Anderson. And I thank Brother Anderson for letting you come on and permit you. But I'm going to say, Sister, I want to say I appreciate. And this is not because I don't, you know, I don't believe too much in that flattery stuff. And but I want to say I really appreciate you, Sister Anderson, coming on and being a voice for the women, and being courageous and bold. And so I just want to give thanks to you for doing that, sister. And in time, God will give you a helpmate. I call it a women helpmate, to be a voice with you, to have the courage to stand beside you on this program. I just believe it. To girdle you about, to be a voice to the women of the world as a handmaid. Really, I want to say I honor you and give great respect and honor to you and your husband, for you being a voice for the women, that you have the courage to do this. And I just appreciate it because You know, I know the other women that they used to be with you, like Mother Crockett and Courageous Bold and Sister Rogers, who passed away. She's really a bold sister, and had to get a chance to get on here. She would definitely tell her testimony about intercession. And my former wife was bold enough to speak up and the daring course, because we don't have, find enough of people to have the courage to do so. So I want to say, in special honor to you, that you have the boldness that held on and been stiffer in faith and didn't get on the, not afraid. And you don't have to agree with everything we say or anything like that, every word. But you know, our purpose and our desire and motive is to help people. And that yeah. you stand boldly and come on here every, and you do your best to share something, to reveal something. So woman of God, I want to give special recognition honor to you, sister, and thank God for you. I'm sure Brother Nate appreciate that too.
Amen. I do. I thank God for you. You know, when we first started doing on Blog Talk Radio, there were four sisters in particular, and Sister Anna was one of them that gave the words of encouragement. And I'm not talking about every now and then. And, you know, people don't realize that many times that goes a long way. It is not always
Amen.
About giving money or giving things, but it's about not just speaking the words, but speaking words from a true heart.
Yeah.
And I remember
Amen.
When we first came on Blog Talk Radio, if there were four sisters I know, they're going to call in. I don't care. They call in. Just Brother Nate, I just want to say, you know, I just, you know, keep on giving the word, but I don't care if it was like 2 minutes. It carried a long way.
Yeah.
And, brother, there was some times that they said it. I don't know if they ever realized it, but it was at a particular point of need. It was at a particular point of need. They called in and said, Brother Nate, I just called in to say, you know, keep on giving that word. It was at the right time. So I thank God for Sister Anderson, another sister, Sister Elaine, Sister Gillespie, Sister Helen T, you know, that called in and said,
right.
keep giving the word.
Yeah, we commend the others. Blessed Sister Elaine was, of course, she's a bold soldier. That one lady, she...
Mm-hmm.
She will stand in the middle of the street and tell you about Jesus on the corner or anywhere. She was a bold. She was of the old group, the boldest of Sister Anna. She's not like, you know, the shy group that's standing in the corner that wants to say. And Sister Lane and Sister Gillespie, Mary will come and say something, and Sister Helen. And so we appreciate. But we thank for all of them, especially. But Sister Allison is very, very consistent over the period of time, which means a lot, a really lot. So let us remember to continue to lift up Sister Sally and her family, called up, and Sister McBath. You remember her. She's in her age. She's about 93. And Mother Hill in Kentucky. You know, and let's keep those remembrances. If you have their numbers or addresses, write them. I don't think we do enough of that. Remember Eddie Secrets, my friend and brother, and his wife. And then there's other difficulties. Mike Greenwell and his wife are fighting a battle. Brendan Humphrey, the Crows. Brother Parker's daughter, I don't know when she's out of the woods, but she's making progress. And the devil is attacking with this plague called cancer and tumors. He's really using the plague curse called cancer. And so we have to fight and stand for one another and help one another. There's others fighting certain battles. Let's remember Older Dawn and her family. There's many under siege by the enemy in many areas, but there's many of them are standing strong and diligent. Praise the Lord for Jesus and for his promises. I'm thinking about the women as we close tonight. My heart and desire is with my sisters and brother in India, Indonesia.
Yes.
You that have never been abroad and never visited any of our nations, and you've only been in America and in American state, you may not fully comprehend the suffering and also not comprehend the faith of the true believers under harsh conditions like in India, Africa, Philippines, Turkey, Afghanistan. These people brave their lives. And I have to say these things over and over again because sometimes in America we just don't comprehend.
Amen.
The suffering,
Amen.
The difficulty that they are going through. Are you going to understand America? And I'm going to say this. You're going to understand in a little bit. It ain't going to be long because it's going to be right here in America. And you're going to understand the travail of reaching out, especially those in Christ. And if they're not in Christ, the oppressed and sickness, seeing these women with their children starving, sickness, and no help over the world, and we're so comfortable, we got so much. I'm saying that many people are giving and doing, but we can do a lot more individually and as a group. I don't think we consider the cry of Jesus hard concerning the weeping of the widows and the children and the orphans. If you don't hear that cry, get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to hear it. Let me have compassion. Let me be touched. We have so much food in the garbage can in America. I mean, our garbage just be filled with stuff. We throw away good clothes. I wore this. I throw this away. Oh, I got 10 shoes. I don't like that no more. Oh, I just eat half of this food, this steak, and throw it away. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, no wonder we are going through things. We just throw away God's blessing and just throw it away just like that. So as we go away, let's remember Reverend Clay Evans in Chicago, and a well-known, renowned minister, Baptist member, an active in civil rights, a singer, a great preacher, really known well and far and wide, Reverend Clay Evans in the Fellowship Baptist Church. He was 94, and he has done much in the way of the gospel, in civil rights, in activism. I commend him for his legacy of his life. A great man and great witness of the gospel. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast tonight. For those of you listening, tune in tomorrow night, another Heart to Heart. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Praise be to God. Once again, we thank God for all of you that have been listening. We love you all from Brother Lee, Brother Nate, and Sister Anderson. May God bless you. May God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.